Okay, why don't we shoot?
I think he's offset. I've got the slate.
Test 1, 2. Landing gear is down. Can you hear me?
Guys, you're counting in.
Guys, you're in nodding.
5, 4.
Yeah, you're nodding on an audio medium.
This is, should we just watch it real quick, the only podcast that will do an intro from Wayne's World. I couldn't remember the name of the film. I am one of your hosts, Dr. Damien Gibson. I didn't go to 112 years of Mike Myers school to not keep my elbows up. Thank you very much. And in the blue corner, it's the Italian Gelden. It's Big Whoop. What I find about it, Kelly Festuca. Here she is.
Hello. Oh, hello.
Just doing weird voices today.
I'm really sorry that we haven't done a podcast in a while. It's because we moved house. Things have been a bit crazy.
Sorry seems to be the hardest word.
Maybe I'm crazy.
We bought a house and we're living in it and we're sitting in it right now and we're recording from it. And
there's two
boxes here. Sucked in, dickheads, because we've got a house.
Yeah, but now we have to buy things that go with a house like shovels and wheelbarrows.
Yesterday I went to Bunnings and bought a ladder.
And an outside broom.
I don't know who the fuck I am anymore.
Is it funny?
Just step you through how much of a fish out of water I was at Bunnings yesterday? So me being me, I downloaded the Bunnings app and I was like, because the Bunnings app will tell you exactly, you select your store and then it tells you in which aisle.
Where everything is, yeah.
Right? And I'm like, great. This is, also I got an autism diagnosis. Anyway, so and I probably wouldn't need it once you hear me tell this story. Mm-hmm. So I go in and it says on the app you need to go to the service desk to ask for ladders, right?
Okay.
But I'm like, I'm not going to do that because I don't want to talk to a human being. So I'm just going to walk around the store and I'll find the ladders because surely there has to be ladders. Can't find a ladder. Go to the service desk. And then this girl's like, you have to go to the tradies desk.
You got to talk to a tradie.
Ask them to order it in. There's a girl behind the tradies desk and she was like, No. The reason why it's saying that is because we don't have that ladder in stock.
Ah.
But the ladders are all over there.
Oh, and they were like, there. Oh.
Well, I might just go and look over there. But, like, I just felt like everybody in the Bunnings was, like, smirking at me.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, it just...
They weren't.
No, I think they were. I think they could tell that I was not meant to be there.
Nah.
You know what I mean?
No one's meant to be there.
Nah, everyone looked like they knew what they were doing, except for me. Anyway, so I bought a ladder, and then I put a whole bunch of Google cams up around the house, and then was told that I had to move them all around. So
you weren't told to move them all around.
No, the foreman came in and was like, what the fuck have you done? You fucked this up.
I didn't say you have to move them all around. I said, the cameras look really good. My only suggestion, this is exactly what I said, because I took a mental note of it because I knew that you would crack the sads about it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, the cameras look really good. You know, I was at my sister's and I showed my brother-in-law and he's like, oh, these look great. I go, yeah, Damien, put them up. They're great. Doorbell cam, blah, blah, blah. And after I said that, I said, I just have one suggestion.
Uh-huh.
One of the cameras, we just need to move to the other side so you can see the gate.
Yeah.
And that's it. Wow. And then you went... You closed your eyes and you went and you took that as a criticism. And darling, it wasn't a criticism. It was just like, hey, Kelly's got an opinion. Am I allowed to say an opinion?
It took me 2.5 hours to put those cameras up. So that's where the exasperated sigh came from, because it was almost a full game of football because I started at the beginning of the Melbourne versus Suns game. And then when I finished, it was halfway through the last quarter.
Mm.
So it takes time. It's not a 30-second
job. I appreciate that. You know what? I absolutely appreciate that it takes time, which is why I was like, hey, they look really great.
Yeah.
They look really great. I commended you on it, and I was like, you know, I just got one thing home. Maybe we should move one over here mm-hmm. so I can see the gate. And that's it.
That's it.
That's it. That's all I'm saying. There was nothing about that that was like, Damien's crap, he's done a bad... Blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah.
Because I knew that me giving just an opinion would be taken as, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Criticism. Criticism. It's not criticism. It's just annoying because you've done something and then it's like, oh, well, I've got to do it all over again.
No, you don't have to do it all over again. You just need to change one thing. So
do it all over again.
I think that you just look at things in a negative light sometimes and think, I've got to do everything again, which means go to Bunnings, buy a ladder, buy the thing, get up. It's not 3 hours. It's just
get up,
20 minutes.
Get on up. Get up. Get on up. Change the Google Cam. Get on up. Move it to the back. Get on up. What's been going on, Sticks?
Moved house.
Yeah. Moving sucks, but I will say this. If you can somehow manage to wrangle buying a house, and I understand that's very difficult, but if you can, the idea that that move is probably going to be the last, maybe second last move of your life, I think for some people would be quite daunting and remind you of your own mortality.
Mm.
I just felt this overwhelming sense of calm and relief. Because I was like, we're not doing this for at least 10 to 15 years.
Mm.
Years, not months, which as renters, that's the usual, right?
God, I hope we don't.
No, we're not. Why would we be? I, thinking about it, in my 20s, I reckon on average I was moving every 8 to 12 months.
Yeah, I think we both have been in that world.
And like a lot of that.
Living out of a suitcase and stuff.
Well, yeah, there's that, playing in bands and stuff, of like not really having a home. I mean, there was a good period of my life where I was legitimately living on people's couches in Carlton.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean? Living a real boho lifestyle.
Just, it's, yeah. The whole process, paperwork, and then whenever you buy a house, and this happens to brand new builds as well. It's not until you move in that you see all the things that need fixing and broken, and you just slowly got to attack it. Like my dad, Gerald, popped in yesterday. And
Gerald, though.
I was just driving past. I thought I'd pop in, and he was so disappointed Damien wasn't here. But Damien was at Bunnings because he's like, oh, where's Damien? And I'm like, I'm your daughter, whatever. And he's like, oh, just – and he's like looking in the backyard. He's like, oh, yeah, look, we can get some pebbles. And he's like got all these grand plans, like
–
which I'm like, Dad's retired, and the busier you make him, the better he feels. So I'm like, please go ahead.
Boomers love that though, because when I retire, I'm not doing fucking anything. You know what I mean? My nieces and nephews ask for a hand, I will do it. You know what I mean? I can put up Google cameras, so that's something, that's a man thing. It's a man's thing that I can do now.
So good.
You know? But the only thing that keeps me going sometimes is that there will be a time in my life where I will live my life like my grandpa for the last 20 years of his life, which was get up, go for a walk, buy a coffee, come home, read, make lunch, read more, make dinner, watch TV, go to bed. That's every day. The fucking dream, Stokes.
Get and up, then, get out of bed.
And then go straight back to bed. And then once a year, you go to Japan.
Oh, yeah. We need to go back to Japan.
Guys, you got to go to Japan.
Well, no, we can't go back because we're starting to become one of those people who it's like, oh, have you been to Japan, have you? Because we're so...
I think Japan's moment has passed. I think for the last couple of years, it's been like, Japan, Japan, Japan. I think Japan's economy is starting to improve a little bit, and so is ours. But I think people will move on to other places. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I still feel like Japan is always going to be the best.
For us, yeah.
But for other people as well.
I don't know. I just don't hear people talking about it.
Yeah, yeah. What have you been watching?
We watched a lot of SNL stuff and haven't talked about it on the podcast.
Yeah.
We watched the 50... So all the 50-year celebration stuff was happening. We did the Saturday night review, which stunk. The film stunk it up bad. And then we watched the 50-year concert, which had some highlights. For me, the highlight was Arcade Fire, David Byrne and St. Vincent singing together. I thought it was fun to see Robin and David Byrne singing together. It felt like David Byrne was just sort of like side of stage going, do you want me to come up? Reformation of Devo was pretty fucking cool with Fred Armiston on drums. They had broken up and said they would never play again, and then they got back together for
SNL. Was it Call Your Girlfriend?
Devo.
Robin and...
Oh, no, it was...
I'm at the corner.
Yeah.
Why I keep dancing on my own.
What was your highlight of the concert, of the SNL concert?
I mean, I really feel like Lady Gaga is, like, I feel like she's really fucking cool. I think she's really cool, and she did the piano thing with Sandberg.
She replaced Justin Timberlake, basically.
Yeah, I don't know why he wasn't there, but I reckon something's going on with him, mate. He's in rehab or something. He
got done for drink driving, and then there's been, like, infidelity flirtations stuff. With, like, me too-ing him, but he hasn't really...
Yeah,
I think there's like cheating allegations and stuff, but there's been, I don't know. I mean, didn't Britney talk about Justin being not a particularly nice boyfriend?
Yeah, and then he came back and said, she's right, like I should have done better at that point, you know?
He also wrote a song called Cry Me a River.
That's why he was saying.
To her.
Yeah, he was like, you know what I mean? Yeah, he said, he goes, that song was, and you know, the chick in the film clip looked like Britney, like, you know, he really... Because he didn't treat her well. They were young. Whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Britney has been given just a fucking, I really like it. Anyway, but when Gaga hosted SNL, she was great when she hosted. You know, she's really funny. She's, and then her performance, like she did two songs. And that second song, she did it like it wasn't really on the stage. Like she was walking through. So they must have rehearsed this. You know, where she was singing and walking through, like, the whole backstage and dancing. So all in, like, one shot. And then she was, like, you know, doing these dance moves on the ground, like, so the camera from above. Like, we both sat here and were like, oh, my God, she is fucking ripe. This chick is so fucking good. Like, and I know it's like, well, yeah, because she's Lady Gaga. But I'm like, nah, like, there's a trans... Like, she is transcending into some, like, Bowie-esque. She always reinvents herself, you know? Like, she keeps being current and not in a Madonna reinventing herself by wearing, you know, a gold tooth way. Like, she's actually reinventing in art in an interesting way, super talented, but she also seems kind of down to earth. Like, whenever you see her in red carpet interviews or just normal interviews, like there's this one red carpet interview where she was wearing like this particular nail polish and the chick goes, oh, I love your nail polish. And she's like, yeah, it's called ballet shoes. And the chick goes, you know, I really wanted that nail polish tonight and the salon I was at had run out. And just like so quickly and quick, she goes, well, and just started hanging shit on her. But it was like really quick where she was like, too bad, too sad. Like I was like, oh man, this is like such a pressure. It was probably like the Oscars and she just became was funny and a smart ass, like a normal, like I felt like I was just watching a normal person. And I'm like, man, I really like this fucking chick. I also went and saw Jesus Christ Superstar yesterday and the guy playing Jesus is A+. You should definitely go. He got in, if you know Jesus Christ Superstar, you know what I'm talking about. In the song Gethsemane, it's the big, just after the halftime special. It's the big Jesus song and it's the, why should I die? Anyway, there's a particular note in there where it's very, very hard for people to get that note. And it really defines a good Jesus to a bad Jesus. And this guy hit that note with such force and ease and power, and then he kept the note for around about, I don't know, 15 to 18 seconds. If you think about how long seconds are and holding a note, where you're like, like that,
mm-hmm.
that is a long fucking time. And everyone, I was like, and we could not, and people just started clapping as he was still singing, because everyone was just like, yeah, this is what? And he just, well, and then boom. And then as soon as it finished, like, people are on their feet applauding him, like a standing O at the end of that song.
Yeah.
It was, I started crying. It was fucking incredible. I looked at my sister. She's wiping away tears.
Mm.
It's brilliant. Anyway.
That's the power of music.
That's not the song.
Getting back to the SNL things.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah.
So
tangent. Who would have thought?
So Cal liked Lady Gaga. I liked Devo and Arcade Fire. So that sounds about right.
Yeah.
I want to talk about some lowlights. A bunch of 40-year-old people being excited about seeing the Backstreet Boys. That's fucking lame and sad. I don't care.
Come on.
I don't care. They're shit. I'm sorry. Eddie Vedder. I love Eddie Vedder. For some reason, he sang two Tom Petty songs. And then a Pearl Jam song on his own without Pearl Jam, but also did a monologue about having a dream with Tom Petty halfway through one of the Tom Petty songs.
He's drunk.
Just like completely self-indulgent, red wine, drunk.
He's so drunk.
And listen.
He's so drunk.
Listen. Yeah, it was literally halfway through the song and he was like, you know, last night I had a dream. I had a dream and it was me and Tom. And Tom came to me and he said, everything's going to be okay. And I was like, how do you know everything's going to be okay? And also, like, he had this kind of weird drawl all of a sudden. I was like, where the fuck is this country drawl come from? You know what I mean? Anyway, Eddie, whatever. The real grunge people I want to speak to, and I know they listen, is Chris Novoselic and Dave Grohl. And I suppose Pat Smear, but I don't think Pat Smear is making any decisions. If I see you motherfuckers play one more Nirvana song with a shit cunt singing, I will personally come Pat Malone. All on my Post Malone.
Oh, yeah. Man, I'm a boomer.
Look at this guy all on his Post Malone.
I'm a boomer. That's what boomers do.
I'm a boomer, and that's what I do. I'm just sick of it. The first time they did it at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with St. Vincent and Kim Gordon and stuff, good. It was good. It was fun. It felt like something that Kurt would be cool with and blah, blah. But fuck, man. And I know that the idea behind it is that it was a redemption arc because Post Malone put up videos of himself singing Nirvana songs during lockdowns and everyone railed against him and stuff. The boy can't sing.
Rapper,
yeah, and like for how limited his range is, he did.
I'm sorry, darling, but you don't have.
You don't have the range.
You don't have the range. Shirley Bassey, I'm sorry, darling, you're fabulous, but you don't have the range. The diamonds, they are forever.
Yeah, just.
I haven't had Ritalin today.
That mic's getting a bit hot. No, it's good. It's good when
I should just go take it real quick.
No,
I haven't taken Ritalin.
Yeah, just wait until the end of the podcast.
All right, don't let me forget.
I won't.
I got to see a show tonight. I need to be on Ritalin. You understand?
All right. Relax. Anyway, no more Nirvana reunions. All right? You did it with Paul McCartney. You've done it with St. Vincent. You've done it with Sonic Youth. Now you've done it with Post Malone. It's a nut. Who's next? Eminem? Like, just stop.
Wait a minute, Post Malone. Hey,
isn't Post Malone, you know?
Isn't he the guy that does the "Do you believe in life after love"? The what's it called? Auto-tune. I can feel what am I wait for you.
Genuinely don't know anything about. Oh, actually, that's bullshit. I saw a whole set of his because he supported the Chili Peppers.
Yeah, so it's all auto-tune, yeah.
It's that, like, to me, and I'm probably going to get corrected. It sounded like trap rap where like the beat is like and then he's like It was like chill and fine. Like it didn't offend me, but I also could not remember one song. And then the Chili Peppers came out and was like, what a gotta gotta give it put it in you. It was like such a fucking like can't like the enthusiasm went up by like 3,000% when the Chili Peppers hit the stage. Flea's doing his stupid dancing and stuff. Yeah, it was like there was just so much. Yeah. It was fucking great. The Chili Peppers rule. I know it's very unfashionable to like the Chili Peppers in 2025, but
well, their lead singer is 62 and he's dating an 18-year-old.
Cool.
I mean, it's just gross.
Anthony like, is a dickhead and has always been a dickhead. I mean, if you read, it's
gross.
It's funny. I read Flea's biography, the end of last year, called Acid for the Children. It's a really well written book, and it definitely, after having read Scar Tissue, which is Anthony's book, it definitely shows you like, oh, Flea's the brains of the operation here. And Anthony's probably, well, it early on, Anthony's, like, personality pushed Flea to, like, form the band and do the band. But basically, since the first album on, it's Flea that has kept that band together and stuff. And then they've got John Frusciante, who does two albums and then quits for two albums, then comes back for two albums. And it must just be a fucking pain in the ass to be Flea. You know, like...
How does Can't Stop Again? Can't Stop... That's that one. Can't Stop... Okay. I've told you the story about when I was 18, I dated some fucking idiot who wrote a poem in the style of Californication, but he called it Californication.
Oh, no.
I was 18. We dated for about 3 months. I 100%... I know, in my bones, I swear on my life, if this man is still alive, he definitely is an incel.
Right.
Definitely.
Because oh, he's a Chili Peppers fan, so there's a good chance.
Well, looking back at his behavior, I definitely, he's definitely one of those people. Yeah. By the way, I'm just looking at Chili Pepper songs. By the way, I gotta be there. That's a good one.
Dream of Californication.
How does Soul to Squeeze go again?
Oh, this is my favorite song. Fuck. I got a bad disease.
Ah, that's right.
And everyone I knew said, I don't remember
I just don't know, but I'm going to give you. So you know what song I really like? When I was...
Tradition.
Mate, if we're going to do musical theatre, I'll break out a fucking Gethsemane right now. When I was... it's 1902. So I was 10, 11. I had a 100% hits volume 8, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
8. And one of the songs on there, so my first introduction to Red Hot Chili Peppers, was Breaking the Girl.
Oh, yeah.
And I actually feel like that is a fucking great song.
Yeah.
And it's not one of their songs that you always, everyone talks about Under the Bridge, Soul to Squeeze, Aeroplane, like stuff like that. But
yeah.
Breaking the Girl, like it's a great it's song. Dude, twisting and turning, like it's such a, beautifully epic. And that's probably my favorite Chili Pepper song. Also, their appearance on The Simpsons is fucking iconic.
Yeah.
Iconic. One of the first real, like they always had celebrities on there and stuff. But
we want Chili Willy. We want Chili Willy. No way, man. Our lyrics are like our children.
How about what I gotta wanna put it in ya? How about... What I want is to love and kiss you. Wow, it makes so much more sense that way.
Now everybody can enjoy our lyrics.
Did they? I just want to watch it real quick. as soon as we finish, can we? I just want to watch that bit.
Yeah, of course. Like we haven't been watching The Simpsons. Actually, we haven't watched The Simpsons for a while. But anyway, there was the SNL thing, and then there was the 50-year
Yeah, there was some fun stuff in there.
Which I literally don't really remember any of
I mean, there was some fun stuff. I think that Will Forte is a national treasure. Andy Sudeikis? Jason Sudeikis. Yeah, I think that when you know how to poke fun at yourself, that is like, yeah, when you're just a goofball, like they're the best. Like these guys are goofballs, you know? And I feel like, I don't know, Kristen Wiig, she's just, there's something about her that there's a serious tone where I imagine she's like, I'm a serious actress and I do comedy. But Melissa McCarthy, my God, give this woman an Oscar. Melissa McCarthy, when you watch everything that she has done on SNL, she is probably the most brilliant guest because she's done it multiple times. And you can tell that she's pushing the sketches further. Like, this is the sketch. It killed in dress rehearsal. That's why it's making the show. And she still thinks of ways to just push it over the edge, make it funnier. There's no bomb I've ever seen her do. Melissa McCarthy is GOAT. She's fucking great.
From the Groundlings.
I know. But you can tell she's just... But also, there's a lot of people from the Groundlings that don't have her essence, man. Like that sketch where she plays the woman wearing the American T-shirt and she spits her coffee in the window is brilliant. And when you go back and watch her play the guy that was when Trump had his first term, the press ex Sean, Spicy. Like, but that, and that's just two. But then there's all these weird characters where she's just wearing a weird wig, mate. She makes me think of like.
There's a sketch where she's dressed like Mark David Chapman, the guy who killed John Lennon, and she's hitting on Kyle Mooney, and it's
so good,
so fucking funny.
Because you know what I think with her, like when you look at like comedy like that, any kind of anything that is born off improv, and then you can write sketches from an improv. Obviously, these improv people that are strong are really good at that. But I always think of Kath and Kim.
Yeah.
Like the origin story of Jane Turner and Gina Reilly with Kath and Kim is that they would just be hanging out having a wine.
Yeah.
And these voices just came out. And the word that they used that hit off the voices that they used was baby's breath. The flowers that you would see in women's hair, little white flowers. You'd see, you know what would make this so much nicer? A bit of baby's breath. Yeah. No, I like baby's breath. And that's... From that, them joking about that tacky flower from the 80s, that's where those characters kind of came from. And then they grew. And I feel like that's what Melissa must do. Like she probably finds that word where, you know, that word and then builds a character from it. And there, that's where you get SNL strong characters from. When you look back and go, where anytime someone's done a character and it's being a recurring character, like Wayne's World, Coneheads, the teachers that Will and Anya do, you know, wow, what is that? Okay.
Yeah.
You know, oh, no, I think that's a G sign.
Yeah, this is like, such a good, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, Kristen Wiig, you know, and I'm Denise. Like all of those characters are born from that similar kind of thing. And that's it what, and we've said it before, I'll say it again, that's what SNL is missing today. None of the people on there now, none of them, know how to do a really good recurring character. Cecily Strong, remember when she does the girl that talks at parties?
The drunk girl.
Dude.
The drunk girl you don't want to talk to at a party. Yeah,
that is. And it's always like she'll, every once in a while she'd be on the news desk. That character is fucking perfect. And it can come back at any time. She's so good.
Marcelo does have a couple of characters. There's a recurring sketch.
Okay, yeah.
There's a recurring sketch where he plays this like insane like Puerto Rican or Cuban.
Come on!
Like game show host. Yeah, it's like a Spanish game show and he plays the host. And it's always like the guest host who's on there who doesn't speak Spanish.
Like, I don't know what's happening.
Yeah. That's a recurring sketch.
Well,
and that's
you're right.
Great. But it's the only one. Yeah. No one on there.
Yeah.
Like Keenan doesn't do like.
Well, Keenan used to do "What's up with that?"
Yeah.
"What's up?" And dude, "What's up with that?" is such a dumb sketch, Fuck, it's
my favorite.
Nails me
it's
every time.
It's my favorite sketch on SNL
it
ever.
Nails me. But also because Jason Sudeikis used to do the red tracksuit man dance. Yeah. And then Fred Armisen
on the saxophone.
Just like walking, like weirdly, you know. And then Bill Hader would always play Lindsay
Buckingham from Fleetwood Mac and never talk.
And he would never say anything.
He was always cut for time.
But you're right. I didn't even think of Marcello. But and then Domingo, how much when he did Domingo that first time in the Ariana Grande sketch, like we went on to a celebration. Ariana Grande also very good on SNL. When that sketch came out, Domingo, it fucking blew up. SNL has not had a character blow up like that in a very fucking long time. I don't know the last time they had a character to the point where because it's a play on Sabrina Carpenter's song, she was playing Madison Square Garden and he showed up. So when she was about to sing that song, she was like, maybe, like, I don't know, it's very lame, but she was like, oh, I think someone, and then cut to him in the audience dressed as Domingo and he's like, Sabrina! And the Madison Square Garden, people lost it. Because there's something about that Domingo, and also because the song was so catchy, and Ariana Grande singing off key, so good.
Yeah, yeah.
Like she just knew exactly a celebration, and the sketch was funny. Like this Domingo guy, and they tried to bring it back, you know. Anyway, but what's the last character before that where we were genuinely, you know, who I think could do it?
Bill Hader had heaps.
Yeah, but Bill Hader hasn't been on for 10 years.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. No. You said the last time. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would say since that guy, we always end up talking about this. We might as well just turn this into an SNL podcast. The last, we'll do a long episode today because we haven't done one for fucking weeks.
Yeah.
The last cast that was Hader, Wig, Sandberg, all those guys, Fred Armisen.
Was strong.
That was super strong. Yeah. I cannot tell you who, like the next cast was like Kyle Mooney, who I love.
Kyle had some good
stuff. Fucking Pete was there for ages. Leslie Jones, who was pretty funny.
Leslie always her and, Whoopi Goldberg is great.
The last character from that generation was Blondie McBlonde face.
Kate McKinnon.
Kate McKinnon.
Oh yeah.
She had heaps of characters, alien. But it was the alien abductee.
My God.
Yeah,
dude, and that actually, sorry,
but the first one, the first sketch with Ryan Gosling in it, and again, the Goz makes
so
it fucking better. I said to Kelly the other day, I think Ryan Gosling has slowly become my favorite actor. And look at my movie collection right now. There's more Ryan Gosling films in it than anybody else's.
He should be your favorite actor because I don't know anyone. When you look at...
He should be your favorite actor.
When you look at his performance in Barbie as Ken and then you look at his performance in Lars and the Real Girl.
Drive.
Dude. Ryan Gosling,
so
and then the Fall
Drive.
Guy.
People, the Fall Guy is fantastic.
He's fantastic.
The other, what was the film that he did with Russell Crowe that was pretty fun? I always go to call it The Other Guys, but that's Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell. It'll come to me. It's like a gangster film, and he's great in that as well.
He's unbelievable on that show, as well as Melissa McCarthy. I feel like maybe Shane Gillis is like there's a few characters that he's done where I'm like, oh man, I think he could bring like when he did the character about the single dad having the two kids on the weekend. And it was like almost like a Mr. Rogers, like, well, hey everybody.
Yeah.
Dad, we're hungry. All right. And he opens up a can of like
it was hot like dogs. Hot dogs in milk or something.
Yeah, and they're like, Dad, this is awful. Yeah. But there were so many jokes, like that was a good, that's a character that could definitely come back, you know?
Nate Bargatze does that George Washington.
That was excellent.
Character that's pretty funny.
Yeah, that was excellent.
But yeah, I love Ryan Gosling so much. Anything he's in, and this is why I love Ryan Gosling, has not played one superhero.
Really?
Not Marvel.
Interesting.
Not DC, has completely stayed away from it. And I think... If he continues to do that, I mean, Marvel and DC must just be, they must go to him and just offer all the cash in the world.
I mean, and he's turned it down.
And he's turning it down, I assume, right? There's no way that they're not at least calling Gosling's agent and saying, is he interested in doing whatever, you know? And I think he's smart enough to know that in 20 years' time when the superhero thing starts to dissipate and people look at it as this like 10, 15 years of film, he'll be the one actor of that generation who has escaped it.
Yeah.
He's well, great. Him and Leonardo DiCaprio are the only two, and Brad Pitt are the, but but Leo and Brad are probably a generation before Gosling. Gosling's prime age, he's like what, 40? He'd be around our age, right? Maybe a little bit younger, 35, 40?
Gosling, no, I reckon he'd be around 42.
Right, so exactly our age. Yeah. So he's the only guy, really, of that age who is A-list who hasn't been in a Marvel or DC film.
Good on him.
Right? I can't think of anyone else.
I just forgot something that was really good from the big 50th show. Kate McKinnon. Kate McKinnon was probably the last cast member that was like so
that
strong.
That went over.
Yeah, it was just amazing.
She hasn't really done anything. Oh, she's in Barbie.
She's in Barbie. She's in Ghostbusters. She's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when she did the Alien sketch and Meryl Streep did it with her.
Yeah.
Mate, Meryl Streep, I know. I always think of the line from, I think it was like the Golden Globes, to Amy Poehler and Tina Fey, where it's like, Meryl Streep can't be here tonight because she's got the flu. And we hear she's amazing in it. But Meryl Streep plays like the mum of the alien chick, and she's so good.
Yeah.
Like she's, and she just is not afraid. Where she's like, I don't know, man. He just wanted to touch my parts, and I was like, you better touch him good. Like I was like, you're Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
I just found something amazing on Rolling Stone, top 50 SNL characters of all time.
Oh, okay.
Now I'm gonna give you the heads up. And I knew this.
I don't think we should go through all 50. I'm just going to make that executive
decision. I'm looking at 1 through 10 at the moment. I wonder.
Let's go from 10 to 1.
Here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
You've got something that is amazing that stood the test of time,
mm-hmm.
or something that's amazing because the nostalgia of it keeps it alive.
Okay.
So if it's something that was around today, it probably wouldn't do as well. Mm. I think that's what something. When I'm looking at this list, I feel like nostalgia wins too much,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's stuff that stands the test of time. So number 10,
mm-hmm.
okay, I'll give you, okay, number
we'll
11,
okay,
but I just want to give you a number 11,
okay.
The Wild and Crazy Guys.
Yeah.
If that was done today, it would not work as well. We're Wild and Crazy Guys.
Yeah, I never, even when I came across that sketch as a young boy, I didn't like it.
Gumby, number 10.
Yeah,
and I think just because I feel like that's nostalgia as well. This one here, though, I respect number 9, Dieter. Remember when?
Yeah.
Touch my little monkey. And now
I'm as happy as a little girl.
Hello, welcome to Sprockets. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's number Mike 8, Stuart Smalley, which is the. Your, you know, the daily affirmations,
oh,
guys.
Oh, the L. Franken.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I'm good enough. I'm smart
good enough.
Yeah.
I like myself. And gosh darn it, people like me.
I don't think that would do as well now.
You could do a different version. I think you could do a different version of it. But maybe. Yeah, I think it's good.
7, Nick the Lounge Singer, which is the Bill Murray character. Yes, does work today. There's multiple ones of this. There's one where he sings lyrics to Star Wars. He makes up his own lyrics. And it is. And you got Paul Schaefer on the piano. Yeah, and he's like, why won't these Star Wars please stay? Do you know what I mean? He's singing. Dun, 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 dun. It's so. And then he does. He always,
Star Wars. Yeah. Wonderful. Star Wars.
It's so good. And then he always talks about being 1/24th Native American. It's so improper.
Yeah.
And then he also does the I fucking love when he does, there's a Bruce Springsteen song. An ocean different side. I'm glad you're alive. I don't know what song. I wanna find one place. Badlands. It's Badlands.
Yeah.
I'm laughing now, dude. It's Bill Murray though, because Bill Murray has a smarminess to him when he's singing where he's like, hello, welcome to the casino. And he just, it's Bill, like he's fantastic. Number 6, I rate. I don't know if it's nostalgia.
Okay.
I think I rate it for today.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Foley, which is the Chris Farley character.
Yeah.
Man by
it
the
might
river.
Go down as the best sketch in SNL
it's
history.
Fucking fantastic. It's I still, the one with Phil Hartman.
You know who wrote that?
Christi- who?
Odenkirk.
Really? Oh, yeah. A+. There you go. I love it more. The one with, yeah, David Spade and Christina Applegate, where he's like, you know, he goes, oh, what do you want to do with your life? I want to be a writer. Lordy frickin' die.
Is that Bill Shakespeare over there?
And then Phil Hartman is like, well, actually, Matt, we've been encouraging him with his writing. I wish you would shut your trapper, dude. I just, because there's something about Phil Hartman that I mean, just one of the biggest tragedies. Yeah, if Phil Hartman was still alive today, he would still be coming in, do an appearance on SNL and be killed. You know what I mean? It just makes me so sad. But yeah, I rate man living in a van down
number
by
five.
River. So good.
Number five.
I don't remember this one, so I'm going to say it's nostalgia. Irwin Mainway, which is a Dan Aykroyd character, where he was like a – remember the Bass-O-Matic salesman?
Ah, that's good. That's a good sketch.
Yeah, it's okay. But
you know why it's great? Because it actually gives you – it only goes for a couple of minutes, but it shows you how good Aykroyd is at
–
just the amount of words that come out of his mouth in 2 minutes, and you're like, Jesus Christ. Even if everybody was on fucking speed and coke in that, you know what I mean? It's still amazing. It's funny. It's good.
I love Dan Aykroyd, and I really feel like there's something about Dan Aykroyd that when I watch him do a sketch, you feel really safe. Everything's in control.
Dan has always been my favorite
guy
from that era. My dad loved the Blues Brothers, and I must have watched the Blues Brothers when I was like 5, which is totally inappropriate for a 5-year-old to be. But I always liked Elwood more than Jake in the Blues Brothers even. I've always loved – Dan was my favorite Ghostbuster. I just have always loved Dan.
And when he pokes his head up in the newer Ghostbusters, I actually feel safe. I was like, there's something about what he brings to it, you know, like an inquisitiveness, like his character, I really like Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, me too.
Number four, Debbie Downer, which I think is good.
Yeah, that's a good sketch.
It's good. She's excellent. And they did, and she came back and did a few Debbie Downers on the 50th anniversary, which was good. It's the number one killer of domestic cats. By the way, it's official. They've located my birth mother. She's dead.
It's the little trumpet button on the end of everything that makes it funny.
Number three, I don't know. Maybe I'll have to give this a watch. I don't know if this is nostalgia. Mr. Robinson. It's the Eddie Murphy used to do, Welcome to my neighborhood.
Then,
but I do like, he's like, welcome to my neighborhood, blah, 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 blah. And then you hear a knock on the door. This is how we answer the door in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Who is it?
Who the hell is it?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think maybe it's aged. I don't know. I'm not sure.
I don't know if it's aged that. Yeah,
have
I don't
to give
know.
It a whirl.
Look, I'm not an expert in this by any stretch of the imagination, but I think it was bringing blackness to mainstream America in 1984
which
or whatever.
Which he did so well.
Yeah,
like
or
he
83
really,
or whatever it was that he was doing that.
That's why he was, Eddie Murphy really opened up a new realm.
Eddie Murphy's fucking funny, man. Like we did a review of Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F, which is essentially just a throwaway Netflix remake of.
But he's still good to watch.
I mean, it's Beverly Hills Cop 4 officially. He, again, he's another one of those guys that every fucking film, anything that I've watched Eddie Murphy in, even though you know it's trash, he's great. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like the film might not be good. Like even like Dr. Dolittle and the Clumps and stuff like that. Like those films are not great. He's great. You know what I mean? The comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, Eddie Murphy's is one of the best.
Yeah.
You know? And he's making Jerry like crack up. Like he's just naturally, because as we all know, and Jerry will tell you, he's the greatest comedian that's ever lived. So for him to laugh at somebody is like, you know.
It's great.
Number two? Is that where we're up to? Or
yep.
Number three?
Number two, Wayne's World.
Yeah, well.
I mean, A+.
I mean, I'm biased.
I'm surprised they're not number one, actually.
Can I guess what number one is?
Absolutely.
Then?
Absolutely. He's actually the, I'll give you a clue, the actor or the person, cast member, is one of your favorites.
Oh. Is it fucking Lazy Sunday Afternoon?
No.
The Lonely Island?
No.
Is it, am I right with Sandberg?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, then it's probably, my favorites are Mike, Andy, Bill Hader.
Yeah. Bill Hader, which I think will give it away.
Fuck, it could be any of Bill's. Is it the, is it the Italian talk show where
he... No, I'll just
does
tell you.
The,
No, I'll just tell you. It's Stefan.
Oh. Oh, okay. Well, it's Stefan. Yeah, okay. Fair enough. I mean, there was a whole
when
fucking...
When you look at the picture of him, yeah, I can't stop laughing.
Look, I feel like the character's been cancelled a little bit in the last 10 years. Oh, because it's a straight guy playing a gay guy and blah, blah.
I never got Stefan either. As gay. I got him as being emo.
I think it's a few kilter. And it doesn't... Stefan's definitely gay because he gets married to... There was a whole narrative structure with Stefan over the course of like the 8 years that Bill was there. And it ended with Seth and Stefan getting married.
Oh, I didn't... I actually didn't clock that it was a gay character. I just clocked it as a teenage emo.
No,
he was like
definitely,
always talking behind his hands.
No, he was definitely. Definitely
I didn't realize this, but John Mulaney famously, yeah, but he would put new jokes on the cue cards.
Yes. Which is why the reason why Bill Hader would put his hands up over his face, it wasn't a character choice. He was laughing at the jokes that Mulaney had put on the cards.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Okay. God, I fucking love John Mulaney so much.
All right, well. Well, we might need to wrap up soon, baby, because I gotta go wee. I gotta take this Ritalin. It's getting too late.
This is like the fucking sketch where it's like, this week we talk about Nosferatu.
But baby,
and then we run out of time every fucking episode.
I gotta take my Ritalin, and I gotta go wee.
All right. Well, next time we'll talk about Nosferatu.
I thought we had talked about it.
No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
All right.
Because the last time we were going to talk about it, we talked about Saturday Night for like 25 minutes. And then you're like, baby, I've got to go pee. And we didn't talk about
it. How long has it been recording?
47 minutes.
That's a long time.
It is a long time.
I go away.
Okay. Well, right. I don't know what the fuck we talked about on this episode, but there you go. There's your dose of Kelly and Damien.
We've got more podcasts coming, so we'll talk
I actually prefer us just talking rubbish.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We just let it flow where it goes.
I think it's fun. I think it's more fun.
All right, we've got to do grumps. Grumps. How many grumps do you give the 50th special?
Oh, I don't know. It was a bit of fun, like 3.
Yeah.
If you're putting the concert and the 50th special back to back, then yeah, 3.5 stars. It's nice to see people. And
I'm going to give it 3.5 stars only because when Cher came out at the concert, watching different celebrities lose their fucking mind.
Oh my God.
Was so sweet.
Yeah.
And wholesome. I loved it.
All I was going to say on the back of that is that, like, what a pain in the ass. There was a realization I had watching that of, like, being a celebrity would fucking suck for me. There would definitely be personality types that would love it. But if I was a celebrity and I got invited to that show, I would be like, great. I would love to go to that. But then if I'm put in the first 4 or 5 rows, if I'm that big of a celebrity, like Paul Rudd, the poor bastard, had the camera in his face the whole night.
Well, that's his own fault for being so handsome and defying aging process.
But then he has to, like, every time the camera's on him, he has to, like, make it look like he's having a good time.
Oh, well, he was having a good time.
But maybe you just want to fucking – there was someone in the audience that I'm not going to remember who it was, but they were just watching the show and then they clocked that they were on camera and then they had to turn around and do a big smile to the camera.
No,
it was like,
I think you're, nah, they're fine.
What a fucking pain in the ass.
They're celebrities, they love
watch
attention.
The fucking show.
Nah, they love attention.
No,
when I'm a celebrity, I want people to respect me.
I just wouldn't go. But then I'd stress out about the fact that I didn't go and I'm missing networking opportunities.
Yeah, you fucking dickhead.
All right. Well, you know what we say on this podcast? When Kelly's got a potty, it's time to end the potty. So we're going to leave it there. Thanks for listening. Sorry we've been so haphazard this year. There's been a lot going on in both of our lives. But now we should be able to do this pretty regularly. So
back.
We've had so much positive feedback from people this year. It actually blows me away that people are listening and say such nice That's things so nice. And stuff. So as we say all the time, the best way you can help is to just force someone to listen to the podcast. Yeah. Put your headphones. Yeah. People don't do this anymore. Grab your headphones and put them on someone else's head.
Yeah.
And say, listen, cunt, listen to this fucking podcast or I'll kill you.
Yeah.
And make them subscribe on their phone and write a 5-star review and, you know, everything would be great.
All right, love you.
And,
okay, why don't we shoot?
He's offset. I've got the slate.